Leonard.
So moved.
Motion by Scott, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Matt, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay, motion approved. Approval minutes submitted by the clerk treasurer, also noted upon our website.
So moved.
Motion by Scott, do I have a second? Second by Matt, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay, motion approved. Approval allowance claims submitted by the clerk treasurer, also noted upon our website.
So moved.
Motion by Matt, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay, motion approved. Approval payroll allowance document, also submitted by the clerk treasurer, noted upon our website.
So moved.
Motion by Scott, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Matt, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay, motion approved. Take a second to fill these out. Okay, thank you. Like we have no one in attendance here tonight, so no comments from the public on agenda items. Our first ordinance is ordinance number 2023-OR-014, political sign ordinance. This is something I know that we was in the motion of changing because we had some other signage, I think that was also being utilized improperly. So Jake, you got anything on this you'd like to add?
I do not. Maybe Charlie would like to speak to this. I know this is something that was already in existence, and when we adopted the UDO, this is just now moving into a different section and then adding a couple comments about any of the community events or yard sale signage.
Okay, all right. Well, just sits there and states now, therefore be ordained by the town council of Silverburg, Indiana, that the following section to be added to the code 130.061, temporary political and community event signs, temporary political campaign signs, and signs promoting community or non-for-profit events are permitted, subject to the following conditions: no permit required, no sign, poster, or other outdoor advertisement advocating the election of a particular candidate, group, or political party shall be permitted, except within 60 days prior to the primary or general election and removed 6 days after an election, as outlined in IC 36-1-3-11. As amended, failure to remove the signage within a 6 day period shall subject the candidate from provisions set forth under section G herein below. Yard signs shall be permitted within 7 days of the event, removed within 3 days after the sale. Failure to remove the signage within 3 days period, the yard, garage, sale shall subject the host of the sale to provisions set forth under section G herein below. Promotional signs supporting community or non-for-profit events shall be permitted within 30 days of the event. In addition, all such signs, posters, and other outdoor advertisement must be removed no later than 3 days after the special event is online herein. Failure to remove the signage within the 3 day period shall subject the organization to provisions set forth under subsection G. All other temporary signage shall be governed by the most current updated of the town of Silverburg Unified Development Ordinance. No political, promotional, or non-profit poster or advertisement shall be permitted on any trees, utility poles, or any parkway, alley, public streets, easement, road, right-of-way, public property, bridge, or bridge embankment, except as allowed herein. Only on election day, political signs, posters, and other advertisements shall be permitted on public property, public streets, road, right-of-way, and or public parkways and alleys or other public property. Signage may be placed in said locations 500 feet or closer to any polling place, but no closer than authorized by the Indiana law. All such signage shall be removed within 24 hours after the polling place is closed. Failure to remove the signage in 24 hours period shall be subject to the candidate organization to revisions set forth under Division C. If any violation of the above provision occurs, the town manager or his designee shall remove the signage found violation of the provisions of this section, whereupon the town shall keep signage for 3 days in order to be claimed by the candidate or organization. Failure for the candidate or organization to claim said signage within the 3-day period shall authorize the town to dispose of said signage in any manner deemed appropriate. No other sections of codes are modified by this amendment unless referenced here or above. This ordinance shall be in full force and effect upon its passage and prolongation of evident by the affirmative signatures of the undersigned as a majority of duly elected serving members of this council. So, ask for a motion for approval.
So moved.
A motion by Matt, do I have a second? Second by Randy, any discussion?
Is it the Indiana law 60 days or 30 days prior to a primary or general election? 60?
Check on that today.
Alright, any other discussion? Alright, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion to waive the second reading of ordinance number 2023-R-014. Got a motion by Matt, do I have a second? Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Motion to approve ordinance number 2023-R-014. A motion by Matt, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any other discussion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Thank you. Ordinance number 2023-R-015, transfer of funds. There are times where we have to utilize and move some funds. Charlie, you got anything you want to add on this? Okay, just stating on here, now therefore it be ordained by the town council of Sullenberg, Indiana, that the following funds be transferred. $15,000 from PZF salaries to PZF professional services. $3,000 to PZF salaries to PZF telephone / internet. $3,000 of PZF salaries to PZF insurance other than. $3,000 to PZF salaries to PZF vehicle maintenance. $2,000 to PZF salaries to PZF training. $1,000 from PZF salaries to subscriptions / dues. And lastly, $2,000 from PZF salaries to PZF judgments. So, that said, this order shall be in full force and effect upon its passage and prolongation of evident by the affirmative signature of the undersigned and as the majority of the duly elected and serving members of this council. So, do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Motion by Matt, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Terry. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Motion to waive ordinance number 2023-R-015, second reading. And motion by Randy. Thought so. Got a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Motion to approve ordinance number 2023-R-015. An ordinance transferring certain funds.
So moved.
Motion by Scott, got a second?
Second.
Second by Randy. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Thank you. There is no unfinished business. New business, our first Clark County RMC relocation reimbursement agreement. Charlie?
So this is part of our growth project for the summer. We thought we were going to be able to get around a telephone, excuse me, RMC electric pole out on St. Joe East as part of our CCNG project. Unfortunately, there is a pole that we're going to have relocated. So what this is relocation reimbursement agreement from RMC. They're estimating, page three, estimated relocation costs will be $8,452.50. However, public entities shall pay the actual cost of expensive volunteers, labor, so this is an estimate. I'm asking tonight for council approval to sign this agreement, relocation reimbursement agreement for this electric utility pole. With the final number, obviously, when the project is complete, plus in that end, but I have to have this relocation agreement back to them when they proceed before we can proceed.
I'll make that motion to move forward.
Okay, we've got a motion for Matt to move forward. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. All right. The other one is Falling Creek Lift Station conversation to phase three.
Yep, so if you all recall, at some point here, I can't remember, it was our last year or two, we had a sewer station, I think the last one was Somerset. We're trying to transition all of our pump stations to a three-phase electric, which includes electrical component upgrades, electric panel upgrades. Basically, what will happen is when we get a lot of flow, these pumps are pulling on a standard pull on these things. They're kicking breakers, which is then running generators. We're getting noise complaints from residents, and it also requires that our team actually go out and reset these breakers so the pumps can kick back up and shut the generator down. So we're going through transitioning off, so this is the next one in that series. So this is for the Falling Creek lift station. Falling Creek is up 31. Just past Perry Crossing, so it's one of the pump stations on the 31 corridor, Forest Main. Got a multiple quotes here, with the lowest being Straker Pump and Supply for $27,267 for Falling Creek lift station electrical renovation. It's laid out in there. You also have another one from IPW and BBC within that. So I'm asking for the council approval on 27,267 for Straker Pump to conduct this work.
27,267.
27,267.
All right. I have a motion for the approval of the three-phase Fawn Creek lift station in an amount of $27,267.
So moved.
A motion by Matt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Terry. Any discussion? Good. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Last new business is a fuel pump installation.
Can I give you all an update real quick on the wastewater, the fuel pump situation? So our fuel pumps, we've been trying to get those permitted through IDEM. Unfortunately, they are past their underground life. One of the permits of IDEM requires a permit or insurance for the underground storage tanks. Because the tanks are past their life, we cannot get them insured without $1 million deductible and a very high monthly. So I've engaged with a supplier, and we are looking at doing an above ground fuel station at the public works facility. I've talked to Council President Amos about doing a workshop before the July meeting to have a conversation and get it a little bit deeper. I have to also look at doing ongoing project updates and any outstanding change orders that we can address. So, but I do want you to know we have looked, we have investigated, we have looked at doing a fleet card service versus continuing using our vendor on what we paid for. We save approximately $1,500 per fill up to our current tanks here, and we can fill up about twice a month. So the way that I've got this thing working is based on paper itself for about 10 to 12 years because we have paper installation tanks. Okay. So
said above ground, so the fuel tanks would be above the ground?
Correct. We currently have underground storage. There's no knowledge of leakage, there's nothing of that nature, and they're still operating and performing as well. But these things do have a shelf life that we come to find out. And from an insurance perspective, once they hit their shelf life, which is about 30 years, I think we're running about 33 years on these tanks underground, the insurance takes care of, they want insurance. So, and it's for environmental insurance is what it's for, in the event of leaking or ground contamination. So what we're looking at doing is abandoning the underground systems and putting in above ground system that we can, the town can utilize and continue to experience those savings and find those savings.
Anybody else? No general comments from the public. Sheriff Port, Chuck.
Jake and I were in the last week, Indiana Municipal Lawyers Conference. I've got a lot of good information out of that. I will also be in Indianapolis again tomorrow, meeting with the head of Indiana Department of Natural Resources, as well as their head of state parks regarding the Port Sellersburg Wastewater Cooperative Project. So just heads up on that. We have a meeting with Congresswoman Houchin later this week here at Town Hall regarding a few things. So I think it'll be her first trip back in town. So she's stopping in to do a check-in. If you get over by Parallel and you happen to see some excavation work going there for a couple of concrete pads, we have an Eagle Scout candidate who's basically, we're going to turn some area over there in Crescent along Parallel between Pop and Foothill. It's basically a little scenic park area. It's a nice area. It's in the right way. We mow it and maintain it. It's right there next to the creek. There's some really nice old mature trees there. So as an Eagle Scout project, the CMA is going to come in and install these concrete pads and picnic tables, as well as some flower and some pollinator type things, perennials around that general area. If you go back there during the day or in the evening, you always see a lot of people walking that general area and hanging out under the trees and walking the dogs. So it's like, what's somewhere to sit, somewhere to hang out. So it's a nice little area. So we're going to turn that into a little park setting area. So if you get over there Parallel between Pop and Foothill, that's what's going on. An update on the NDOT projects on Point Dexter and 60. So if you've been out there, you've noticed that they transitioned from the Point Dexter side of 60 to the American Way side of 60 for construction. And they transferred the traffic over to the other side of the road, basically flip-flopping what's been going out there for the last several months. We were under the impression that they were opening Point Dexter when they made that transition. And that came from the way their press release read originally. On phase one, they included the road closure kind of within that phase one definition. After some emails and conversation back and forth, MnDOT, I've asked them to resubmit their press release to give an update because they did have some delays related to water main relocation with Silver Creek Water. So I've asked them to redraft an updated press release that we can then put out there because, in fact, that side of the road at Point Dexter is not going to be open due to the traffic being basically pushed all the way over up against there. So there's some safety concern for the workers as well as traffic right there due to line of sight around the Point Dexter intersection. So it is in fact not going to open. And originally it had two phases. An email I got back from them saying that it was going to be open through phase three, or closed through phase three. So now it's a question of one phase, two phases, or three phases. Can you get us an updated press release so we can communicate that appropriately? So I know Councilman Angus, you had some questions about last week. That's where that's at. Did I too was under the impression that once they transition traffic, they were reopening that? Apparently not the case. So again, I've asked for clarification from MnDOT on that.
Well, I know I contacted you. It just seems to me in their flagging operations, literally traffic on 60 was at a standstill for 17 minutes. It was stopped all those things were coming. That's a bit much. Unless I get it, like they're doing something where they have to go. This was like 10:30 in the morning, but that's not a rush hour time. I don't know if that's common for them, but I can see the frustration and then turn around in the middle of the road and it just leads to, I guess that, is that going to be a common thing for them?
That's going to be a periodic. I think it's more them transitioning items over because they're striping some other things they needed to do. Once everything is set on the other side of the fence too, they're basically going to work behind the barricades.
I get the alternative and, you know, but past Yorktown is a little.
I think it's just related to the transition. I don't think it's ongoing thing. We had a nice ribbon cutting at Hope Coffee two Saturdays ago. Had a nice turnout there, so welcome them to town. We have one more on the books for sure in September. Betty's Market will be celebrating their 1 year, so they want to do a 1 year re-kickoff. So it's on the calendar for that. I'm also working with a shirt company here in town who makes some of the town shirts, and they do lots over high school. Major League has changed owners, they've renovated, they've changed a little where they're operating out of, the strip center. So McKenna's reached out to us about assisting them with the ribbon cutting on that. Looking at July sometime for that as well. So great news, a lot of locally owned small businesses here in town. Reinvesting in the community, that's always great. Randy, this is your favorite. 4th of July is next week. You know what happens on 4th of July in the town of Silverburg?
Randy usually leaves town.
I haven't been here for the last couple of years.
We have fireworks. So the town of Silverburg and JTO are sponsoring the town of Silverburg fireworks next week at the American Legion. Located on Uvalde Street, food from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. You have live music and Hank Rose Trio from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And you have fireworks to start at approximately 9:45. Chief Whalen and I have met with the commander down there and discussed some of the concerns that arose from last year on traffic flows and this, that, and the other. Again, we just want to make sure. And you can't block Uvalde Street, you can't park on Uvalde Street. There's other stores and things maybe that aren't open that you can utilize their parking facility and walk down there. Again, we anticipate a decent turnout like we had last year. For the 4th of July event, for fireworks.
So, free fireworks.
Free event. Everyone's invited. With that being 4th of July, the town offices are closed on that day. Trash will not be collected. Now, typically, we will collect trash on holidays or a handful of major holidays that we don't. 4th of July is one of the ones that we cannot collect. So, Tuesday's trash collection, which is downtown, Fern, Fall, Broadway, Poplar, Walkie, Twinburg area, among maybe a couple of streets there. Tuesday's collection route will be collected with Wednesday's collection route on the 5th. So, put your trash out on Tuesday next week. It's not picked up. Just leave it out there. We'll get it on Wednesday. If y'all recall, at the last meeting, you all approved the submission to a $20,000 grant for lead copper for us to start that process. We were awarded that this last week, so we received that $20,000 grant. So we start utilizing those funds to go through and get our lead copper reported. That's what I have. Any questions?
Anybody have anything for Charlie?
That was a grapple truck.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about the grapple truck. So we are going to run, I'll do it two more times. So I do have, we ran one time, we had almost 40 stops. We ended up dumping three times. Because again, you can't pack some of this stuff down. We had tables, and we had disassembled trampolines, and mattresses, and desks. Just a whole lot of stuff. Instead of making an knee-jerk reaction, we're going to run one date in July to see if we didn't have a rush on that first month. People take advantage of it and see what the workflow is in July. In August, I may make the decision to move twice a month, depending on what our workflow looks like for July. So I didn't want a knee-jerk reaction on June, being the first time. We'll see what happens. And then we'll roll it in July when one day in July, and then make a decision in August.
Was there anything that we didn't, like we got there, we didn't pick up the driver?
No, we did have people who, while the truck was sitting there loading the neighbor, people coming out to drop stuff. Like, hey, you're like, well, no. Like, we've been very specific, you have to call us here. And again, we want to do that, we want to know how many stops we're making, what we're taking. That way we can equate that into the expense like we discussed. So again, we're making people our active call schedule. Now, they've really an issue with that. massage these things, we get through here, see what happens.
Right, I have three people reach out to me, and I think all three of you did things.
So we'll see how it goes. The other thing is, the Boca baseball team, obviously, state champions. Signs have been ordered for our welcome sign that they're here. Those signs should be going out this week. I reached out to Coach Decker.
She's so good.
I'll be bringing back to you all, maybe revise that, the key of the town orders. I know the last time COVID had happened, the state, you know, the boys were a fastball, they won, kind of, we didn't want to drag it out, we were going to do it, we had to miss it here, and all this other stuff. I think it's probably a better idea at this point, just to create this type of conversation, maybe just to make the date a lot. As either town day or champion day, instead of waiting, whatever, that way, come July, whatever, if, and then, any state championships, we have an entire calendar school year, we can follow up that, so. But in the meantime, the championship sign is ordered, they have, they won, we saw that. So construction is underway, this last pad, they have Oakley Park right now, go up there, put some visual buffers on the fence, screen, kind of blocks some of the ugliness of construction for people utilizing the pool. It's underway, they're moving along, as I heard, in August, they're moving for completion sometime in August, they've got sidewalks that they've put in, ground excavation that they've done, and I think they're starting to sewer tap, water, line, and last week. So, you know, they're moving right along with the project.
So on that, just a quick note, I know when I was on the Parks Board, and I was on the line for a year, so you moved me to, I always champion for splash pad to whatever we do in the future when it comes to parks to be able to include those with disabilities and be able to have access for those who otherwise would probably be left out. Is there any room for that at the splash pad or any plans parks wise? Maybe I need to direct that to the Parks Board to be able to have better access for those in our community that have children to be able to enjoy some of those facilities. I saw what New Albany did, some of their parks, so I would like to see the same here from the parks that we control. Obviously, not too many parks that control that, but is there plans for that, or are we aware of that to entice people to come and be able to bring their children? I just don't like kids to be left out.
Yeah, so this project is ADA compliant. So those needs is contained, is fenced. So whether it be...
not so much the access, but some of the playground equipment designed specifically or possibly for them, or maybe we can add those to existing playground equipment to show that the town is trying to take care of everybody. Just a thought. Maybe I go to the next park for me and I can ask them. I know you're not the end all be all of all of us, you can't be. It was something that I've always wanted to sit down for the most part of the community that had those issues in the future. So I think it's just a topic that we shouldn't forget. That's how I feel.
That's a head and advice. Until unfortunately, it's got COVID, and COVID came, took away or anything, so I'm going to assume that Charlie probably will have a conversation. Probably
this does have those as part of the grant. Yeah. So, I mean, again, from a, I think from a children's special needs, whether they be autistic, or sensory, whether they be mobility challenged, just even from parking, we went out there, when we started parking, designated, clearly designated the handicapped loading, offloading, and the parking area there. And when the project's done, there's zero transitions for, again, you know, whether it be wheelchair share or other type things with, you know, people, not even limited to children, who'd like to go and utilize the facility. It's all inclusive.
Good. I will continue to work on that and make improvements where we can.
All right. Anybody else? Chief? Okay. Lori White from Cove Junior Lance. Gave everybody a project report that she here to be able to look at.
I will hopefully be quick. I added a new little header there for you guys, just kind of general updates. The first one is that the utility launch for your new GIS software services is scheduled for Wednesday with all departments. So we're doing a full rollout. We have times scheduled with each department throughout the day, you know, a couple hours, pretty intensive with each department. Thomas and I will both be here, and then we will be remote, I guess, zooming in with representatives from Zipsility for hands-on training. All departments with their devices, so that they will, by the time they complete here, be ready to walk out and use it as needed. And then, as Charlie mentioned, yes, we did receive the initial approval for the $20,000. The only thing left for us to do, and that is for JTL to do, is to finalize the paperwork into the with IFA. So I'm taking care of that. The system connection for Indiana American, we did send specifications and cut sheet back to the contractor. For Butler Road, I know that we briefly mentioned this earlier, but we did pause on what was going to be the design on that because due to our survey crews being in the field, then they called our other staff and we went out in the field, and there's actually an existing pressure system in place that actually serves the households that were in question. And so we instead came up with a construction cost estimate to replace that, I guess, pressure system, if you will. I mean, it's just pump stations and voice tank there with a gravity system instead, and it would be about $300,000 to do that. So that is then a discussion for you all to have on if that is something you would like to invest in for those homes there. But they do already have sewer service. As far as the treatment plant goes, right now we're working on some revisions to the site grading plan so that we can address some different proposed site enhancements that will include some additional parking and actually address some areas that we're concerned about the depth of the asphalt so that it can have a longer service life for the vehicles that drive across it. We've also recommended that some areas be cut down and kind of redone to where there may be some soft soil areas to make sure that those are handled while we're in the construction phase. The manufacturer service technicians for the oxidation ditches will be here July 17th to start up those. And then once the official startup has been completed there, those will be brought back in service. And I think that's really all the... Oh, we are working on the operations building is nearing completion, so we'll be able to relocate the staff back into the building, hopefully near the beginning of July, which now is next week, so hopefully in the next couple weeks they'll be able to be back in an actual building instead of the trailers back there. So the treatment plant's moving along well. CCMG, there's no change there from the last time we met. Camp Run. The punch lists have been completed, so the final retainage payout has been submitted and the project is being closed out. And then for the State Route 60, the Force Main relocation, I know that you all approved Christiane to do the work. They intended to start that this week, however, NDOT has now said that they cannot do that yet, and they want us to complete full plans for them to review. And so they will not allow the work to start until they have reviewed and approved plans.
How long will that take?
We're working on it right now. So it's not just going to be a little simple relocation like we were hoping it was going to be, since it's just a very small distance, but we're working on this.
All right, anybody have any questions or any thoughts, Laura? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Jake?
How's that?
All right. Jerry?
I just want to say that it's raining like cats and dogs here in a couple minutes. Oh, and it made me think about yesterday, the severe storm warnings we had, and I hope everybody got through with just minimal damage, maybe rainwater, wind. I never heard of any serious happening in the town, so I hope that surely is the case. Other than that, I don't have anything.
Okay, all right.
So kind of piggyback off of what Charlie said, you know, I want to congratulate Soda Creek baseball team on their championship, first time ever. So that's awesome. Second, I just got a quick question for Chief, and I probably know the answer in this, but I've been kind of seeing it kind of regularly lately, and I just haven't mentioned anything to you. Right away, when it comes to a stop sign area, are you allowed to park your vehicle in that area?
There's a certain amount of feet per statute you have to be back from a intersection and stop sign.
It was 15.
But they can park inside that?
We meet inside that.
Like literally in Lakeside, there are certain people that are actually parking on the, so you got stop sign. They're parking in the middle of it.
I'd have to go see it, but I mean, there's state statute for parking at intersections and stop signs.
Okay. All right. Just verify. Thank you. Other than that, that's it.
All right, Rand?
Just like to, since we were talking about the pool and the fireworks, which I found so exciting, Charlie, I'm very happy that we're, this is our second year, I believe, back with fireworks for the town of Salisbury, and it's a very exciting time for a lot of people. I will be there this year with about 22 other people, and excited to be there. And also, I want to commend the town on our pool, which, you know, to have a facility with that type of age, it's in pretty good shape. It really is. So I have to commend the guys that take care of it. And, you know, at some point in time, maybe in our future, we might move in another way. But been over there, grandson's been over there swimming, and, you know, it's still a pretty good facility for the age of it. And just seems like it's been running well, to my knowledge. And haven't had any problems that I've heard of this year, but you know, just enjoying summer, and just as always, I'm glad to be part of this board and doing what we do each month, and just trying to move the town forward. I am a little concerned with the traffic coming. People are asking me about the 31 project, and you know, they ask me a lot of questions that are probably above my pay grade, like will it be closed entirely? And you know, I'm telling them I don't have the answer. I don't think it will be. I think it'll be through lanes. It's a, as I understand it, a year and a half to 2 year project. My main question, and I might address this to Charlie, if you're going 403, what the alternative route if you don't use it anymore in your mind? Do we have a plan in place? I don't know what I would use, but I don't know what the plans might be.
I don't think NDOT fully knows yet. So you're seeing utility relocation happening currently, or poles and stuff happening. No, it's not going to be closed entirely. There are going to be one lane restrictions and then the intermediate closures in specific directions. Don't know to what extent yet. I've asked that question and have not gotten a clarified answer. The posted currently, formal update I received from NDOT, the posted detour is interval. Because NDOT only detours to their controlled roadways. Okay. So now we have asked for an interlocal agreement with NDOT, which I think you and me and any person here and any person watching and any person that drives around this town or lives around here is going to tell you, I'm not driving to Henryville for a detour. I mean, let's be real. Let's live in the real world for a minute. What they are going to do is utilize New Albany Street, more than likely. So we've asked NDOT to look at putting a temporary stoplight intersection in New Albany Utica, potentially a temporary stoplight Utica New Albany, or 31 in New Albany, to help with traffic control. We've not heard back from them. I've not received anything back from them on that. And they are trying to minimize any closures to 31 during the scope of this project. So there's a lot of questions that you have that I have still not got clarified answers on. I think from an engineering perspective, it all looks good on paper, but then when you put it into real world practice, that's a whole different world when you're talking about traffic flows.
My concern was, which I've utilized this route a couple times, and not to, beat up a problem, and it could be a problem, is the road behind the bowling alley that goes over to North Vernon and out to 403 that way. Well, will that possibly become a huge option, or is, I just see a lot of issues with that.
I think what's going
to happen. I'm not putting you on the spot.
No, honestly, I think here's what's going to happen. I think we go to NDOT and we can look at the map, at whatever we're going to look at and say, here's what's best. Realistically, in my mind, shut down the intersection of 31 and 403 altogether and make people go down Greenbrier or Greenleaf, past elementary schools and come out at Bean Road. Now, the problem with that is the roads out, those are county roadways and they cannot host heavy haul traffic through there. And then either way, they're still going to end up down here on Fern Street right next to railroad track. So that's not a good solution. I think we can be like a little Dutch boy putting our finger in the dam, but until this thing shuts down, there's going to be a traffic flow pattern that rises. And I think we need to be prepared the best way we can be, because we can plan the best we can, but then when the plan goes into play, we need to see how it plays out and then make adjustments.
And I bring it up because I've had so many people address, I appreciate your input. It's just, it's the biggest question that I've heard here in the last 60 days. And thanks for sharing. But that's all I have.
If I can chime in, I don't think there's going to be one answer. I think all the roads are going to be used. Whatever best suits an individual, that's the way they're going to do it. At certain times of the day, certain ways may be better than other ways. And people are they'll come to their own resolve on which way works best for them.
Well, in the conversation I've had with the traffic officer, regular officers for that matter, typically when they run into a speeding or a speeder, what's been explained to me, it is, like you said, somebody who's run into a situation, trying to get from A to B, and they're using these little back roads, so we'll have somebody from Charlestown address out 403, or actually from the city of Charlestown in that direction, get pulled over on North Front, or get pulled over on Broadway. or pop, or pin. It's like, you know, well, yeah, well, I'm trying to fit through. I didn't want to sit up here at 4:03. So, I mean, again, I think we can plan for this, but I think you're going to have people who are just finding their way through town. We have to plan for the best.
Well, there's a, are you finished, Greg?
I'm good, okay.
Is it officially my turn?
Yes, sir, it is.
I think it would be foolish of us not to look at or begin to plan for a bypass 403 Highway 60. Now, I know there's physical challenges with that when it comes to topography and all kinds of other things that needs to be looked at. But if you look at the future of the town and the town growth, which is going to inevitably grow, I think looking at larger projects like that, which may not be feasible now or in the next couple of years, but a long-term plan for that off of this current project that's going to happen, we would be foolish not to consider it. If it can't be done, physically cannot be done, like NDOT, for us, then it can't. For us not to look at it and meet on it and get plans to alleviate some of the in-town traffic, then we wouldn't be doing our jobs, so to speak. And I'm sure that you probably have already looked at stuff that, I know you always do, Charlie, but for the public that listens, I think they should know that that's something that we definitely have entertained and are probably looking at for the future. You know, you don't have to answer me now, but I think we would be foolish, this council or the next council that's elected, to look at continuing to make the town better. And there's just, people don't understand this until they get here. They don't understand the challenges that we have with certain roads that we control, certain roads that don't control, the ones that we do, we can't really do a whole lot with because of flood zones and everything. There's so much, you just can't build a road. It just doesn't work that way. I get it. But if we can provide different solutions for the future, or at least even look at that, then that it would behoove us to do so. So that's my only take. There's going to be challenges. Now, I look at it like this. You know, we have, in my district, we have a lot of graduates that have ascertained a large hundreds of thousands of dollars in scholarships to go to different schools. And we want those people to come back here to a town that's vibrant and growing, and we want to attract those people to come back and be leaders of this town. So we're laying that foundation. In my district, I've got kids that go to Providence, Gordon, Silver Creek, Floyd Central, Jeff. We want them to come back here to something that we've started that they can finish and continue to make this town what it is. I believe in that. I'm a huge sports guy, and I, you know, Joe Decker's graduated a lot of good young men through that program over the years. It's a very, very successful program. And he'll be the first one to tell you he's proud of the accomplishments, maybe not just in baseball, but in life of the people that he's brought through that program. So we want those people to come back and continue to contribute to their town, is the way I see it. So whatever we can do now to make things better for the future, I think that we should all have an open mind to and be realistic. And that's, you know, goes without saying. I mean, if you don't plan for the future, you're just going to become stagnant and the town will die, right? I mean, and I think you do a fantastic job of looking towards the future. We're not all going to agree all the time. I get it. Some things may not on paper look logical, but that's the best way to do things, because that's the only choice we have based off of some of the challenges that this town has in topography. And you know, let's be honest. We don't have pockets like NDOT does. We don't, you know, there are certain roads, like I get it all the time. I don't control county roadways. You know, we have zero say over. So how do we overcome those challenges? Do we just ask the county to give us the roadway? Is that the best? We can begin to maintain. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Most people don't understand all that, and I know you do. So, but I think there is going to be hardships and frustrations. But if you look at, we talk about kids coming back and being a part of this town. If you do these changes now, that's what you're setting up for the future. I get it. No one likes to sit in traffic. I just complained about sitting 17 minutes in traffic on Highway 60. We all have stuff to do. But it's, the town's getting better with some of these designs. Would you agree? I mean, in your opinion?
Yeah, so if you will recall, there was a news article on April 19th of 2022 that talked about some of the traffic. It was about the time they shut down the 65 exit at exit 9. And there were some comments made about teamwork and regional thoughts within that article, which basically spurred on a conversation between myself and the county engineer, Brian Dixon, and then later Brian Glover, County Commissioner, Jack Kaufman. Brad attended me with me, I think, on one of the ones. Basically, we kind of come together to start talking about what should have been talked about 25, 30 years ago, right? So the problem that we have now is a 20-year-old problem that didn't get planned for. We have to plan for how we're going to solve this because we're 20 years out on a solution. So the county funded their engineering firm to come up with alternative roadway options off of 403. There were multiple ones that relayed a road through Shellersburg that would require a lot of property acquisition because of the railroad track conflict. Those were not feasible. There's some floodplain issues. The most relevant one was basically on the what I call the west side of the 403 bridge, basically creating a new intersection that would run through from town, from there, and realign Bean Road if you can sell it for tide. The problem with that is there's this big chunk of land right in the middle called a rock quarry. So we had to get the rock quarry on board with that, and we've had some conversations with them. I'm not optimistic, but we're still going to have those conversations. One of the topics of agenda with the Congresswoman Houchin is this issue. How do you address 403 problems when there's no way to address the 403 problem through Shellersburg? One of those options is, should there be another interstate exit north of exit 9 somewhere? How does that, what does that look like? Does that tie in somewhere? Does that address issues on 403, but it also addresses traffic problems on 60, where people are trying to come down 60 through town to get to exit 7 or exit 9? So again, these are 20 and 30 year conversations that have to start somewhere. It's like the bridges topic, right? You have the East End Bridge, I think, started 40 years ago. And it took a lot of time, effort, a whole lot of people and money to come to the table to realize it was a need. This is a need. This is a long-term need. This is a long-standing need of 403 and 31. Charlestown is going to continue to grow. They've got the whole entire East End of River Ridge. You've got almost a $1 billion project going out north of Highway 3 and 62, the Sazerac project. It's going to be completed within the next 20 years. You were talking about a lot of traffic on the east end of this county. And the only opportunity for them to get to an interstate exit is through the town of Shellersburg on 31 that is completely undershot. On an intersection that is pigeonholed due to size, easement, and multiple railroad track issues. If you back up away from that, you have massive floodplain issues with the sewer creek. You have to go further north for a solution. And what does that look like? So a lot of those conversations are high level and very high up in the air, high in the sky, and right now it's just out deep. What do you do? How do you do this? We can look on a paper and we can draw pins on a map. I had a meeting with the executive director of a very large commerce center last week discussing the same issue. How does that fit? How does that, what does this look like for long term? So again, these are conversations that are going to happen over a very long period of time. Try to come up with the best options, but it's going to take a whole lot of people in the room when the best options start percolating to the surface, because you're not realistically the issue and the scope of work and the project of where it may or may not happen. None of it's within the town of Shellersburg, not a single bit, but it impacts us the most. You've got, it's all in Clark County and it's all state highway or interstate, and there's not one single area within the town border limits that you all can utilize to say, let's do this project, let's fix this problem, because none of it's within your jurisdiction. We have to have the partners, and we have to have people at the table to do it, but we have to also be the ones driving it because we're the ones that experience the problems. The county sees there's an issue on 403. They're sympathetic to it. They understand it, but 31 is not their highway. NDOT understands it. They see it, but 403 is not their road. It's our community that's suffering. we have to have partners, we have to have people at the table to have these conversations. That's just things we're working through.
I agree 100%. We need to get those partners together, we're not gonna solve it tonight. I mean, whatever we have to do, I wasn't elected to sit on my hands and not begin to have those conversations. And at the end of the day, if the final answer is no, I can go back to my constituents and say, I've done everything that I've tried to do, so as the town manager, so as this entire town council, and the state of Indiana, or whoever may be the powers that be, say it's just physically impossible. I refuse to believe that. But let's start having the conversations and looking towards the future and doing the things that you're doing to continue to put foot on the gas pedal versus just being a pipe dream down the road. So I'll get off my soapbox on that. Congratulations to Silver Creek and Joe Decker and all those wonderful athletes that won the state championship. I watched that while I was in Alabama. Pretty cool technology, allows you to be able to do certain things. A wonderful program that he runs, a lot of great young men come out of that program that he'll remember that for a lifetime, and those that laid the foundation for that program over many years. So congratulations to them. Also, all the graduates, like I said, in my district, they're going off to college doing great things for many different schools. I have a melting pot, if you would, of students in my district that go to many different schools that have great springs and summers, not just athletically, but educational-wise, as far as scholarships, and they're gonna go on and do great things, and hopefully we make the right decisions for when they come back and look for jobs. There's plenty of jobs here, and this town's growing responsibly, and they want to come back home to where they grew up. So other than that, thank you for the stop signs and covered bridge that went up. I know that's impacting some traffic and slowing it down, which was the design. So I appreciate you and the police department monitoring traffic out there. So it looks like that'll be a success. We're not gonna stop at all. It's just not, the next complaint will be the running stop signs and all that other jazz, but I think we're doing the things we need to do to address the concerns of our residents. So other than that, I don't have anything else. Thank you.
One quick, Charlie, is there any more discussion about Highway 60 going over to 62? I know at one time, 5-6 years ago, that was a big deal.
Yeah, so that was referred to as Airport Road or Highway 69. A lot of different little nicknames, a lot of different little groups. Realistically, with all the conversation that was going along, there was realistically 5 entities that need to be in the room together. And unless those 5 entities were going to come together in the room together and all agree that they're gonna pull the trigger on this project, it really didn't matter what all the other people were saying. Unfortunately, there is, we were not able to get that done.
So that's just not gonna happen?
Yes, that's a dead conversation.
Thank you.
All right, well, like I said, I also, being a Silver Creek alumni and growing up with Joey Decker my entire life, I do want to congratulate him and his program. I hope that the state, in all means, recognizes what his accomplishment was, and he does get recognized for that. Like I said, a lot of these young kids, like you said, just, they're not athletes, younger students as well. And we got a lot of great students, over, I think, 1,100 students. Talking about the school, it's been doing some demo work. So we're glad to see that their organization is moving forward, just like we have been, our last 4 years sitting on this council. So, you find dreams, you find goals, you find things that are realistic, and you make things happen. So, and that's what's so great about this council. And moving forward, so I know, like I said, American Legion will be having, other festivities and everything. Some bands will be playing, before the fireworks showcase. So, please go up there and enjoy, a lunch or a dinner, and the festivities that they have moving forward. We've got, we're within 6 weeks from our Hoosier Daddy coming in to the park. So, look for some park here. So, I hope everyone's willing to attend and support, the Parks Department and what they do. Like I said, our Parks Department has been a very growing and very active group, so we've got a lot of things going up there at the park. So I appreciate everything that they've done, along with the pool staff and the lifeguards and everyone else. So I think we're almost finished, Charlie, with the sidewalk. I saw the guys up there on New Albany Street working on that today when I was eating lunch, so.
Yeah, we have a couple berries on New Albany that we're repairing.
Yeah, all right. And like I said, I know the guys have been doing a great job of taking care of some overgrowth areas and stuff like that. I want to thank them for doing that as well, so. But other than that, I don't have anything else to say, Michelle.
Budget estimates are due to my office by July 31st.
July what?
31st. It's on a Monday. And then we'll have a budget workshop in August.
Stay on top so we can.
And that's earlier than last year, right? So we don't get in the.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, the department hasn't been notified.
We're about excited about, you know, working with each and everybody's departments and trying to get them the needed funds as well as the funds that I think we'll all want to grow on as well, so.
And we'll schedule a budget workshop for the Monday, the second meeting in August before the regular meeting at 5:00. Is that okay with everybody?
About 4:30.
Perfect.
Yeah, that'd be great, so.
It'll be a budget and a salary ordinance workshop.
4:30?
Yeah. Sounds perfect.
Thank you, Michelle.
All right, okay. Okay, with that, I ask for adjournment. A motion by Scott, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Matt. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
7:03.